There's probably a lot more that the scientists don't know about emerging contaminants and what they do to both wildlife and especially humans, if anything, than what they do know. In many respects, this field of toxicology largely is still kind of in its infancy. The landmark study, the landmark paper that kind of kicked off, for example, the whole discussion and study of pharmaceuticals in water was that was only in 1998. And there has been a huge amount of resources and attention that has been put into research on emerging contaminants, largely because the public and Congress has become concerned, so the scientific community has responded. But as I found in talking to some of the top experts, one of the questions I had was just very basic. What human health impacts are there from the levels of these emerging contaminants, these chemicals that are found in drinking water supplies? And the answer was there are no known health effects to date. However, there is a lot that we don't know. And so, I think that when you're doing a story like that, you have to be honest and let the reader know pretty high up in the story that there's a lot that we don't know. And I think we know pretty well that it is having an effect on these aquatic life, on the ecosystems in our streams, and that's enough to be concerned. And we definitely need to keep working on trying to figure out what are the human health impacts, if any. So, I guess, the kind of take-home message is, yeah, people are we're this is an area of concern. I mean, we all drink water. Many of us drink tap water, whether we purify it or not. And we are finding these a whole kind of cornucopia of chemicals at very low levels in our drinking water, and we don't know a whole heck of a lot. We do know at this point there are no known health effects, but that doesn't mean that down the road we may not find out that there are problems. I mean, that's sort of the history of chemicals and science, in the developed world. Sometimes there's things that we freak out about that we think are doing great harm, and then it turns out when the research is more developed and more sophisticated that there wasn't anything to worry about, and then sometimes the opposite is true. So at this point we don't know yet conclusively. We're much more sure that, for example, like pharmaceuticals and estrogenic endocrine disrupting compounds and things like that in the our streams and lakes are doing harm to wildlife. So that probably requires a more urgent response at this point.
Why do you think this story was important to print in The Observer?
I mean, it's not a story. It's not the kind of thing that I do typically. It's not the kind of thing the Observer does typically. But I think that what we can do is give a very honest and balanced approach that, ironically, I don't think has been found outside of some science-oriented magazines yet. And the Chris Tomlinson, the editor's conception was that we ought to do stories that everybody can relate to. Everybody drinks water, and so regardless of whether you're rich or poor, black or white, you have to drink water. A lot of people drink water out of the tap. I do at home. I think the Awesome Water tastes pretty good. A lot of people disagree with me. And sometimes use a filter, sometimes they don't. So, here's something that I think is out there, people are dimly aware of, but let's do a very thorough and honest job looking at the science, talking to the experts, and give people, kind of a balanced view. And I hope that's what we accomplished with this piece. But that's for the readers to decide. So I think there's plenty of enterprising reporting to be done. I mean, the AP a year or so ago asked a number of major cities in the United States for whatever data they had on testing they had done for chemicals, emerging contaminants in their drinking water. That could be done at a local level. That could be done at a state level. And so, there's yeah, I mean I probably will try to will kind of keep some irons in the fire on this. And once you've kind of got over the learning curve on something that's complicated, then it becomes easier to do subsequent stories.
You've written on a lot of different topics for The Observer, but I think people go to you mainly as the environmental reporter. Can you explain why that is? Is it something about your own personal lifestyle, or what leads you to that area?
Well, I still like to think that, I like being a generalist. When you, I guess, when you have a lot of interests, you don't want to be pigeonholed. But yeah, definitely, I do more environmental reporting than anything else. Part of it's just the change that we made a couple years ago. We decided to put more emphasis in our reporting on certain areas, each one of us. And so, we were asked to kind of really think about where our interests and our expertise and our passions, lay for each one of us. And I picked in environmental reporting, I guess just partially because I knew a bit about it, maybe a little bit more than other things. And then two, I just, it is a it's a it's an interest of mine. I love the outdoors. I love kayaking. I like fishing. I grew up in the country, spent most of my time outdoors. And I still like to be outside, and just have always kind of had an interest in the environment, broadly speaking. And in Texas, it's super important, one, because we have it's a very diverse state. There's a lot of we're very dependent, and I think the history of the state is very much tied up in the environment, and I'm using that in a broad sense, water, land, landscapes. At the same time, we have very intransigent, difficult environmental problems from urban air pollution to I think climate change is going to be huge in the state, and there's something that just isn't is like a taboo subject. Texas might be the last bastion of climate skeptics in the, on this planet, and yet we're going to feel great effects from it. So I just there's a lot of work to be done.